Jayadamadova Kunjabihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari. Govindana Balava Giriborodari. Govindana Balava Giriborodari. Yashoda nanana vajajana ranjana. Yashoda nanana vajajana ranjana. Yamuna Tirabana Chari. Yamuna Tirabana Chari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabihari. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramhamsa Parivrajagacharya Ashto Tadashata Shishimad Srila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai ISKCON BBT Samstapagacharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Gaur Premanande Samaveta Bhakta Vindaki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. Hare Krishna. Sarva Shastra Dipiusha Sarva Vedaika Satpala Sarva Siddhanta Ratnadya Sarva Lokaika Vikpada Sarva Bhagavata Prana Srimad Bhagavata Prabhu Kalidwan Hodit Aditya Sri Krishna Parivartita Paramananda Partaya Prima Varsham Shadayati Sarvada Sarvasevyaya Sri Krishnaya Namostume Made Kabandha Matsangin Madguru Madmahadana Mandistaraka Madbhagya Madananda Namostute Asadu sadu tadayin matini chochata kara anabuncha kadachin mam premnarit kantayok spura Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yad Vanaspatayo Bhita Latas Cho Shadibik Saha Sve Sve Kale Bigrihnanti Pushbarni Chapalani Cha Yad Vanaspatayo Bhita Latas Cho Shadibik Saha Sve Sve Kale Bigrihnanti Pushpani Chapalani Cha. Yadvanaspatayo Bhita Shoshadibhiksaha Trani Chappalani Cha. Yadvanaspatayo Bhita Shadibik Saha Kale Bigrihnanti Pushpani Chapalani Cha Yadvanas Patayo Bhita Latasho Shadibik Saha Sve Sve Kale Bigrihnanti Pushpani Chapalani Cha. Others? Okay, Matajis. Yadvanaspatayo Bhita Latacho Shadibhik Saha Svete kale bigrihnanti Pushpani chapalani cha Vanaspatayo bhita Latascho shadibhiksa Svete kale bigrihnanti Pushpani Chapalani Cha. Yat. Because of whom? Vanakpatayak. The trees. Bita. Fearful. Lata. Creepers. Cha. And. O Shadibihi, herbs, Saha, with, Sway Sway Kale, each in its own season, Obigrihnanti, bear, Pushpani, flowers, Cha, and palani fruits cha also. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Out of fear of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the trees, creepers, herbs, and seasonal plants and flowers blossom and fructify, each in its own season. Purport. as the sun rises and sets, and the seasonal changes ensue at their appointed times, by the superintendence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so the seasonal plants, flowers, herbs, and trees all grow under the direction of the Supreme Lord. It is not that plants grow automatically, without any cause. As the atheistic philosophers say, rather, they grow in pursuance of the supreme order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is confirmed in the Vedic literature that the Lord's diverse energies are working so nicely that it appears that everything is being done automatically. Yad vanaspatayo bhita latas choshadibhiksa sve sve kale bigrihnanti pushpani cha palani cha. So, in his ecstasy, Lord Kapiladev is offering this glorification of the Supreme Lord, that out of fear of him, the demigods perform their duties, the planets move. And here he says, the plants, the trees and plants, give their fruits and flowers at the appropriate times, out of fear of the Supreme Lord. The previous verse, Yad Bayad Vati Vato Yam, Suryas Tapati Yad Bayad. This is the verse just from yesterday. Yad Bayad Vati Vato Yam, Suryas Tapati Yad Bayad. Yad Bayad Varshate Devo Bhagano Bhati Yad Bayad. I think there was a very similar verse at the end of the 25th chapter. Out of fear of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the wind blows. Out of fear of him, the sun shines. Out of fear of him, the rain pours forth showers. And out of fear of him, the host of heavenly bodies shed their luster. And this is actually an echo back to an old theme in the Upanishads. Bisha smad vatak pavate. Out of fear of him. Same idea, but different words. Out of fear of him, the wind blows. Just different words. And this is coming from the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad and some other Upanishads also. So this is an old Upanishadic idea that everything in the world is operating, all the demigods are doing their services out of fear of the Supreme Lord. It sounds like a very tyrannical arrangement, that here's the Supreme Lord, everybody's terrified of him. What are they afraid of? This will think about it in a little while. Why is everybody afraid of the Supreme Lord running around doing their services? And is this the way the universe really is? Are we being poetic or are we being exact here? Are we just getting some poetic exaggeration? Are all the demigods really that terrified? Is it that kind of oppressive tyranny? The way that the Supreme Lord runs the universe? Well, okay, let's see what truth and what poetry we have here. It is definitely a fact that fear is a at most basic emotion in material existence. Let's say it's the basic material emotion. And other feelings are really there to try to avoid the fear, to ignore the fear and pretend you're feeling something else. But basically what everybody feels in material life is fear. Boyam dvitiya binivesha toksyat ishada paitastya vipardayo smritihi tanmayaya. Everybody who leaves the spiritual world and comes to this miserable material world will immediately begin to experience fear. And as long as he's here, you will continue to experience it. Bayam dvitiyabini veshatak syat. Fear must arise in one who lets himself, lets his attention be turned to anything other than the Supreme Lord. Dviti abhiniveshatak. Because of absorbing your attention in anything other than Krishna, your life has to be full of fear. Ishada petasya. Turn away from the Supreme, who's your actual best friend, is the source of all your life and everything that is precious to you. Vipariyo. What happens when you turn away from Krishna? You forget who you are. What are you but a servant of Krishna? If you forget Krishna, then you don't remember who you are. Vipariyo asmiti. Forgetting who you are and dreaming up some fantastic false idea of what you think you are. This is material life, which is full of this feeling of fear. What's wrong with turning away from Krishna and trying to be independent? What's wrong with it is it's full of fear. Material life is just terrifying. It's like the background noise. If you listen to the radio, you listen to music on the radio, you get the music, but you also get static. There's some noise in the background because the station is not perfectly tuned in. Background noise. You're trying to listen to the music. You're giving your attention to the music, but in the back is this grating noise. There's always some background noise. Or you're hearing so many things on the outside through your ears. If you put your fingers into your ears, you'll hear some buzzing inside. Now, there's something, you know, it's the blood flowing in your veins or something you hear inside. That's the background noise. So the background noise of material life is this constant fear. Many of us try to ignore it and pretend we're not afraid. And we think that we're feeling other things, but that fear is always in the background. That's material life. So in that sense, it's really true that everybody who's going about his work in this world, in this life, is being motivated by fear. And who is it fear of? Fear of not being in control. Fear of whoever is in control and what he might do to you. That's the basis of fear. So it is, technically, everybody is afraid of the Supreme Lord. Because who else can do anything to you but the Supreme Lord? Everyone else is under the control of the Supreme Lord. If he doesn't allow it, no one can harm you. But he can, if he wants. So he's someone to be afraid of. And everybody is, actually, technically, acting out of fear of the Lord. The great demigods and everybody else. Although we don't know it. We don't know that we're afraid. Or if we know we're afraid, we don't know really what it is we're afraid of. We think we're afraid of not being able to pay the mortgage or of someone doing something to me. But we don't really remember what it is we're actually afraid of. Still, it's there. That's material life. But that's not the way we're supposed to live. That's why material life is not... Should be given up. We shouldn't be afraid. We shouldn't suffer. We should be happy. Does anybody disagree with that? Does any sane person disagree with the proposition is that we should be happy and not be miserable, not be terrified? No sane person can deny that. And it's just a fact. that because we're living this rebellious life, that we're not happy. And if we give up the rebellion and come back to Krishna and make some attempt to apologize for rebelling and become cooperative again, then we can give. We don't have to be afraid. So, the Vedic knowledge is telling us. Tamasima Jyotir Gomoyo. Don't stay in the darkness. Go back to the light. Telling us in so many ways to revive our spiritual life. Buddha Abhat, going back to that verse I quoted in the beginning of the class, Bayam Dutiyani Abhiniveshataksyat. This is from the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, spoken by, I don't remember which one, Chamasa Rishi, one of the nine Yogendras, to King Nimi. Fear is there for anyone who turns away from the Supreme Lord. But then a solution is proposed in the second half of that verse. Buddha Abhaji Tam Bhaktiayaka Yesham Guru Devatatma. Somebody has intelligence, he should use it to give up this fearful condition. How? Abhajetam. One should engage properly, thoroughly, systematically, in the practice of again reviving one's service relationship with the Supreme Lord. Abhajet. Bhajanam is, we can say, practice of devotion. It means doing something that you have to, you don't know, you've forgotten how, so you have to practice how to love God, how to serve God. We have to accept some discipline to practice, again, how to serve God. And therefore we should take spiritual guidance. And one a student should make his teacher, his guru, his very life and soul. Bhaktiyayaka yesham guru devatatma bhaja abhajetam. Bhaktiyayaka yesham guru devata atma. You should try to learn how to love God properly. Try to commit, dedicate your life fully to the service of Krishna. Commit yourself to this mission. How do you do that? Guru Devatatma. By learning how to practice on your spiritual master. Loving Krishna, surrendering to Krishna, is somewhat difficult because Krishna is very distant and we've done so much damage to our relationship with him. To restore that mutual trust between us and Krishna will take some great time and effort. But you can begin by accepting the spiritual master as Krishna's representative. And by developing your relationship with him, you're trusting mutual trust between the disciple and guru. Mutual respect and mutual service. That is the way to practice reviving your relationship with Krishna. So therefore, Guru Devatatma, somebody who wants to get back to the fearless condition, should practice pure devotional service and learn to be an unalloyed surrendered devotee. And that is done by seriously taking guidance and shelter from a representative of Krishna. Guru Devata Atma. One should make his spiritual master, or it could be spiritual master is plural, his Devata and Atma. This is radical. One should make, because we're worshiping God, and this guru is a man, or a woman maybe, not God necessarily. But it's saying, make the guru your deity, the object of your worship. And he should be considered your very self. Well, God is the super soul. Jiva is not the super soul. But you should have such dedication and such firm trust in the Guru, such a solid relationship, that it's as if he's your object of worship and your very soul. Or let's say, the basis of your intelligence. The Guru's intelligence should stand as a substitute for your faulty intelligence. Just like a person, like I pulled out one of my teeth and gave me a cap. Anyway, they made a ceramic tooth they put in. But it took several trips over the course of 6 weeks to get this job done. Root canal treatment, pulling out nerves and then pulling out the whole thing, drilling down the tooth, and then putting a false tooth in. In between, when I had to go home between trips, they stuck some cotton and some plastic in there as a temporary tooth. So the whole thing doesn't fall apart. They stuffed something in there temporarily until the next trip back. So substitute. Our intelligence right now has become completely decrepit, corrupted by material contact. I think we can all honestly say that. Our intelligence is dysfunctional, malfunctioning. So we have to put in a sub. We have to go there and get it pulled out and replaced by proper intelligence, spiritual intelligence. But it's a process that takes time, maybe a lifetime, maybe more than a lifetime, to actually root out the material intelligence and replace it with good intelligence. It usually doesn't happen quickly, even in a matter of a few years. So in between the yanking out and the putting in a new intelligence, we put some substitute, and that is the intelligence of the spiritual master. The honest disciple realizes, I don't know what's right and wrong, what I should do and what I shouldn't do. So I'll ignore everything my faulty intelligence tells me and simply follow the instructions of my spiritual master. He knows better. Guru Mukha Padma Bhakya Chitete Koriya Aikya Ar No Koriya Monayash. This is what we're praying every morning. This is what it means. The words emanating from the lips, the lotus mouth of the spiritual master. This is not just fancy poetry. It means something. That whatever he says, which means whatever opinion he has, Guru doesn't just waste time talking nonsense. He's telling you something important that for your good, giving you instruction. Chitete koriya aikya. You should take it and find a careful place to keep it in your heart. Don't throw it in the garbage. Don't let it go in one ear and out the other. Don't change it in the middle. Keep it intact, whatever he says. Don't distort it. Don't throw it away. Put it in the heart, in a proper place. Preserve it. Cherish it. Ar no koriya monayash. And what if there's no room in the heart? What if I've got contrary ideas there? He's telling me this, but I always thought that, and I still think this. What am I supposed to do? Well, if the heart has got contrary things in it, if there isn't room in the heart for the opinions of the spiritual master, you should take those other opinions and throw them out and make room. Ar no koriya monayash. Don't keep any contrary ideas in that heart. That's the process of substituting your own intelligence with the intelligence of the spiritual master, especially until your own intelligence becomes good again. So, there are living entities who have intelligence in this world, and they do want to Jai Shri Gornitai. Shri Krishna Balaram, Shri Lalita Vishaka Devi, Radha Shama Sundar Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. There are living entities in this world who have good intelligence and do want to revive their relationship with the Supreme Lord. Vishnu Bhakta Smito Daiva. These are the devotees of Vishnu, and they're considered demigods. Anybody who wants to be a devotee of Vishnu, even if hasn't yet done much about it, or isn't doing a very good job of it, but he wants and is trying to be a devotee of Vishnu, he should be considered a demigod, a deva, godly. And you can turn the sentence around, the demigods are devotees. They are faithful servants of the Supreme Lord. And therefore, because they're trustworthy and faithful, they're appointed to responsible positions of managing the affairs of the universe. That's a demigod. So we're talking in these verses that Kapilarev is speaking, he's talking about how the demigods, out of fear, are doing their services, their duties, out of fear of the Supreme Lord. So what is it? What kind of fear are the demigods experiencing? If someone's a criminal, then he's afraid of the government. Because as soon as the government catches him, he's going to be punished. So sinful people are afraid of the Supreme Lord for one reason, and that's one kind of fear. The sinful person who has some God consciousness, because there are many people who are somewhat God conscious, but they're also very sinful. They have something good in their heart, but a lot of dirt also. And therefore they're breaking the laws of God, and they know it. And therefore they're very much afraid. Fear of punishment. Or in the Western terminology, fear of going to hell. Of eternal damnation. Burning in hell. Or whatever kind of punishment. Karmic reaction. But that's not the fear the demigods are experiencing. Because they're not. If they were criminal, they wouldn't be made demigods. That's the asuras, demons. They have that kind of fear. Demigods, they may be afraid that if they misacted, if they acted wrong, they would be punished. They may think they might be punished if they did something criminal. But they don't have the fear that they have to stay undercover, hide from the police. They have nothing to be afraid of in that sense. They're law-abiding citizens. In fact, they're appointed to responsible, authoritative positions because they're law-abiding. So when we say fear of God, the fear of God, this is Christian terminology, but this is, many of us were brought up in that world. Our parents maybe tried to train us up to have fear of God. It's not an idea in Hinduism so much. But in Christianity it is, in Judaism. Fear of God. Even a righteous man, he has great awe and reverence and respect for God. And knowledge that if it ever came to that I did something to be punished, the punishment will be severe. So therefore, one is afraid. Even though he's not a criminal, and he's not inclined to become a criminal, still he has great respect for the authority of the Lord. That is fear of God. That is what we call righteous, punya, pious. And it's a kind of devotion, but it's very much materially mixed devotion. So therefore we're told that the demigods are sakama bhaktas, devotees, but they have material desires. And therefore, what they're experiencing is mixed with that awe and reverence and fear of the Supreme Lord. Fear that if they didn't do their duties right, they might be punished. Just like when Indra committed his offense against Krishna by pouring rain on Vrindavan and trying to destroy everything in Vrindavan. When afterwards Krishna defeated him, then he was afraid. Krishna actually didn't punish him. The worst thing he did was not pay much attention to Indra and his prayers. He sort of insulted him by not paying much attention, but that was the extent of the punishment. Yeah, he told him a few chastising words, and that's it. So it wasn't a very severe punishment, but still Indra was afraid. We don't have to have that kind of fear either. We don't have to be just Sakama Bhaktas, Karma Mishra, or Jnana Mishra Bhaktas. We are all being encouraged by Srila Rupa Goswami and his representatives in the Gaudiya Sampradaya that we're meant to take seriously and enthusiastically to the practice of Shuddha Bhakti. No conditions, no material motives, no predominance of karma and jnana in our process. Trying simply to work to satisfy Krishna should be our motive. And trying to make that the mission of our life, that Krishna should be happy. That's all. That's the practice of pure devotional service. And that's on a higher level than the kind of Mishra Bhakti that the run-of-the-mill demigods and sages perform. This is something exceptional, in which there is no cause to fear. If you're actually giving your life to Krishna, if you're actually making the best attempt you can, given your circumstance, to do that, even imperfectly, then there's no reason to fear, especially no reason to fear from Krishna. If you're trying to give your life to him, and so few people in the world are, what causes there for fear? Fear is for those who are criminal or are just not very much devoted. But those who actually want to give everything, then Krishna will protect them under all circumstances. And even if there is mistakes made, offenses committed, Krishna will be very lenient. Ultimately, one can try to come to this stage of unalloyed, absolute surrender. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expresses it, Aslishyava pararatam panashtumam adarshanan marnamahatam kurutuva yata tata va viradatu lampato mat pranana tas tusa eva na paraha. This is a fearless attitude. Krishna can punish me if he wants. He can embrace me, or he can kick me with his feet. Or he can make me brokenhearted by not letting me see him. Whatever, it doesn't matter. He's my Lord, and nobody else. So if that's your attitude, or anything near that, then you have nothing to fear. Prabhupada had the name that his parents gave him, Abhay Charan, the servant of Krishna, at whose lotus feet there isn't any cause of fear. So, for the demigods, there's some fear there. But for the pure devotees who read these verses in the Upanishads and in the words of Kapila Dev, they don't have to worry about that fear. Hare Krishna. So I'll stop there. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu.
Prabhuji, as a devotee, if we experience some fear or anxiety, so we can understand that there is some material desire or some expectation. That's what you're saying.
Yeah. Prabhupada said it like this, that if we are experiencing anxiety, that simply means that we're not convinced completely that Krishna is absolutely in control of everything. It's really lack of realization and maybe lack of belief. We don't really believe it, that Krishna is completely in control. Otherwise, why would we be in anxiety or fear? Or in the Ishopanishad, tatra kamoha kashoka atmanamanupashyataha. If you actually see the super soul is present everywhere, then what question is there of feeling, of lamenting or being confused about anything? So it means that our faith is still imperfect, weak, that we're still feeling fear or other material emotions.
Attachment to some spiritual expectation can also create fear. Attachment to some spiritual expectation, like I might lose out like that.
Okay, attachment to a spiritual expectation can
it lead to fear?
Yeah, that's inappropriate attachment. It's spiritual in a sense. We meant it to be for Krishna's service, but service. You have to understand what service is. Service is to do something for somebody, what they actually want and what they actually need. If we do something for somebody and it's not what they want, it's not really service. So we very often have wrong ideas about what we think our service to Krishna should be. And if we're not ready to admit it when we're wrong, if we hold on to this agraha, this being too stubbornly holding on to our own ideas of what we think will please Krishna, when it's not what Krishna wants, then yes, we're going to be in anxiety because of that. It's not because of making a mistake, but not because of not admitting it and giving it up. If we're flexible and willing to admit and correct our mistakes, then we shouldn't feel so much anxiety. You know, we should be ready to risk even making mistakes, even being a failure for Krishna, because we trust Krishna's protection. But if we don't, we only trust our own intelligence, then we hold on to our ideas, and then we feel anxiety and fear. Okay?
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Krishna. Thank you. Is there anything else? Yes, for...
Hare Krishna. In Vrindavan, when Aristasura appeared on a scene, the gopis displayed symptoms of fear. So what kind of fear was that?
Oh, that was not the same kind of fear. When Aristasura appeared, only the coward girls, the cowards, people all over were afraid of him. That was an ecstasy. It's one of the Vyabhichara bhavas. You know, that's transcendental. It just looks like the same thing. And it has the same name because it's similar, but it's a totally different thing. Transcendental fear. It was part of the drama. Here's this terrible monster, and everybody's, you know, scared of him. That leads to the enjoyment. That's kind of positive. It's not the same kind of fear. And some devotees have a taste for that kind of fear. They're like, you know, just like foolish people want to go watch, you know, horror movies because they like to be terrified. That's a perverted reflection. But the real thing is that devotees enjoy these tastes because they're transcendental ecstasies. Some devotees, not every devotee, likes to see, you know, not everybody has an attraction to the same rasas, but some devotees like that transcendental fear. Okay? Yeah. And Krishna likes to have it sometimes. Sometimes be the cause of it and sometimes be the victim of it. Yes?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, thank you for a very nice class.
Thank you.
Prabhuji, I wanted to ask this question, that during the course of performing services for under authorities, when we are doing a service as told by our authorities, some other Vaishnavas do not like it, may not like it.
Yes.
So in that sense, they become unhappy with me in particular, I would say. So yes. Am I committing offenses against them? And if I ask sorry to them, I feel that I am not being honest because, like, I'm following my service authority. So if I just ask, say sorry, but I still have to do the same thing. So I'm perplexed in this situation. What to do? What should be the course of action?
Assuming, I mean, this is very general. There are a lot of variables here. Assuming that it's a bona fide order you're following. If you're being told to do something that you shouldn't be told to do, that's, you know, not authentic, you know, the authority is acting wrong by telling you to do it, then of course you're going to upset a lot of devotees, and you should take that seriously. If one or two devotees don't like what you're doing, what can you do? But if everybody doesn't like what you're doing, you should take that seriously. Then that means something's wrong with the order. But assuming the order is not wrong, then, and it's coming from the person who your spiritual master wants you to cooperate with, then it's like coming from your spiritual master. You have to accept it unquestioningly and do it, even though someone else may not be pleased with it. Now, you have to do the instruction. You have to carry out the order, but there are different ways to carry out the order. You should try to carry it out in such a way as to do the minimum violence to others that you have to not disturb anybody as much as possible. If we learn how to be civilized gentlemen and ladies, then we can do what we have to do without causing too much disturbance to others. A civilized person knows how to do that. To be considerate for the feelings of others and minimize the damage he has to do. But then you just do your duty and you won't be blamed. At least you won't be blamed by those who you are actually responsible to, even if others are not satisfied. Material world, you can never satisfy everybody. That's impossible. Okay? Yes, sir. Here and then.
Vishnu, this couple of verses, they are going saying that because of the fear of the Supreme Lord, the wind is blowing and the sun is rising. So it seems that the service they are doing is just out of fear. But when Prabhupada defines in books, he says it is loving devotional service.
Yes.
So do you mean that this is not devotional service they are rendering to the Lord? Or?
I wouldn't say the demigods are motivated just by fear. Like, you know, that Krishna is ready to destroy them at any moment. No, they're motivated by mixed devotion. And there's some fear there. The poetry is exaggerating the fear. It's not that the demigods are just motivated only by terror. Yeah. It's not that kind of tyranny. But it's not satisfying the way pure devotion is. Even if there's a little bit of fear and uncertainty in your relationship with God, you can't really experience actual rasa. There has to be complete trust and surrender. If you're afraid of God in the material way, then you can't really love him. You're not, you know, you can serve him, but you can't really experience prema, rasa. So that's why mixed devotional service is undesirable. Because the real taste is not there. You're doing the right thing, but you're not experiencing the real spiritual taste until you give up these material motives. So, not all demigods are the same. We're talking in general. Some of them are pure devotees, but in general they're not. And those who are practicing mixed devotional service, they don't even have a chance, as long as they don't graduate to pure devotional service, to ever experience the actual taste of transcendental rasa. Of not fear, but love in the five you know, primary rasas and seven secondary rasas. You can't taste that as long as you're still experiencing any material emotion. Okay, yeah.
You can say about the seven secondary rasas that are there, that's also one of them is the
fear. Yeah, but that's different. Yeah. That's not a material emotion. Okay. All right. I'm sorry, you had something, bro?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Hi,
thank you very much for nice
thank
class.
You.
It's like, as you said, pure devotees are like fearless. And we see like Prabhupada, maybe I heard from some, like from devotees, like Prabhupada sometimes used to pray to deities, please save me from Maya, or sometimes he used to say, I will kick Maya with my faith. So please, can you explain this?
A fear of Maya, but that's a transcendental emotion. That's not material fear. That's the symptom of humility showing itself. Dainyam. A devotee, a person who is extremely elevated, thinks himself to be very fallen. Although there's no question of such a pure devotee being attracted away from Krishna by Maya, still in his humility he's thinking he could. And therefore he's expressing something like fear. But it's not. It's not a material emotion. That's a spiritual symptom of actual humility. He's got nothing to be afraid of, actually. He's just talking like that, you know, out of humility. Is that okay? Okay, yes, Mother.
In society, we're told to take control of our lives, to set career goals and accomplish them, and to have control under our life is a desirable quality or trait. So keeping this in mind, is it possible to totally surrender to Krishna?
That imperative is not absolute. You know, why do you have to do that? You know, I'm going to take control of my life by ignoring that instruction. You're telling me to, you know, live my own life, don't follow anybody else. I'm going to live my own life by ignoring that and deciding to surrender to Krishna and his devotees. And in many cultures, that's not the idea. That's an idea in some Western societies, that each individual should, you know, plan out his own, and execute his own life plan. In traditional cultures, in many cultures that still exist in this world, that's not the idea. You know, there's still respect for authority and tradition in many cultures, especially Vedic culture. So I think what's recommended for us, okay, we've got this Western conditioning to, you know, seize our own destiny and make something of our own life. Okay, let's do that, but let's do that for Krishna. Let's take charge of our own life by giving up being slaves of Maya. Take charge of our life, you know, seize our own freedom from Maya by surrendering to Krishna and the Vaishnavas. Yeah, so we can use that Western mentality, you know, for Krishna's service. Okay? Yes?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you for a wonderful class.
Thank you.
If some authority, sometimes authority provides us the services, and we feel fear that we can do or not. We have anxiety that we can do that service or not.
Yes.
The services provided by authority. What kind of fear is that? Anxiety or that?
It's fear. It's really a mistrust. The fear is based on mistrust. You don't trust your own abilities, but also you don't trust the person who's encouraging you to do the job. He's telling me to do it, but I don't trust that he knows whether I can do it or not. So if you're dealing with a real spiritual authority, you should trust him. He thinks I can do it. I don't know how I can do it, but my guru is telling me to do it, I'll try. You know, without any fear. Even if I fail, what's the harm? I've done the instruction of my spiritual master. I tried. So anyway, it's mistrust that's the cause of this anxiety. So we have to develop our trust. Find the right person to trust. You can't trust everybody, but find someone you can trust. That somebody who you can trust, that when he tells me do this, I'm confident it's the right thing to try to do it. Even if I fail, it's a success. Okay? Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry, someone else here was... Oh yeah, please. Here's the microphone is coming right here. Oh.
Hare Krishna.
He stole the mic. I'm sorry. I'll get back to you.
Okay. You were mentioning transcendental fear that came up, and once Prabhupada said, "The trouble with my disciples, they're not they're not enough fearful of Maya.
Yes.
You know, I just, you know, you remember him saying that? They're not sufficiently fearful of Maya.
Yeah.
So that's more transcendental, like you said.
Well, that's preliminary. If you trust Maya, then you really do have cause to fear. Where if you're somebody who trusts Maya and thinks Maya is not going to hurt us, that person is in serious trouble. He's got a lot to be afraid of. You know, we're not going to be fools and say, you know, if a car is about to run you over, we shouldn't say, you know, think that that person has nothing to fear. We got to scream to him, get out of the way. The car is going to hit you. So your life is in the grips of Maya. You know, we have to wake somebody up and scare them. We should be terrified of Maya. And then when we understand we have to give up that Maya and surrender to Krishna, then we can talk about becoming fearless. When someone starts practicing devotional service, then he can think about giving up fear. Until then, he has every reason to fear. And he should be encouraged to fear, to be afraid. Mm-hmm. You know, okay.
Okay, and what I did have was, I remember in the late 60s in San Francisco, California.
Yeah.
One hippie or someone was saying, I'm not afraid of anything. And Prabhupada said, okay, please climb to the top of the temple and jump off.
Did he do
it? So he was calling his bluff.
Yes.
So he's afraid. Okay, this on the other token, on the other side, in the early 70s, there was a war between India and Pakistan.
Yeah.
And we were in Delhi at a life member's dharmashala. And there was a press conference reporter. Prabhupada was giving class, and he was putting masking tape. It was nighttime, and he was putting masking tape on the windows. And Prabhupada said, what are you doing? Oh, Swamiji, the enemy may see us. And Prabhupada said, okay, if Krishna wants to come at me in a form of a bomb, that is all right. So it appears that the pure devotee is completely fearless.
Yes.
Like Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur taught his disciples fearlessness.
Yes.
And a sannyasi is supposed to be fearless.
Yes.
Any comments on that? Any other comments?
I think you said it well. I don't know what else to say. Thank you.
I don't get tired. I never get tired of hearing your ambrosial words. Maybe you want anything else? So it's possible to be the demigods, because you were saying that most of them are motivated, so they do have
At least some material motivation. And
yeah.
Even a little material desire is going to be the cause of fear. If pure devotees seem to be afraid, it's a transcendental symptom. A pure devotee has no material emotions, no material feelings. Okay? Yeah. And here's the microphone.
Those devotees are not associated with Guru and live holy place of Vrindavan, and doing bhajan is also devotional service or not? Some devotees are not associated with Guru without telling Guru and left their centers and staying in the Vrindavan.
They're calling it bhajan.
Bhajan, yes.
They're saying they're doing bhajan. But Vaishnava Seva, was it? Chadya Vaishnava Seva Nistar Payechi Keba. If you give up the service of the Vaishnavs, what hope can you have for being saved? What bhajan can someone do if he disobeys the order of the guru? You want to do bhajan, you should pray at your lotus feet of your spiritual master, please engage me in bhajan. But if the guru tells you your bhajan is to distribute books, then that's your bhajan. And if you disobey the order of the guru, then you have no hope of being saved. No? We're not against doing bhajan, we're also bhajananandis. But we have to do what Krishna wants, what Prabhupada wants, and then we can talk about intimate service of Krishna. First, satisfy Prabhupada. And then we can spend eternity, you know, sitting on the bank of Radhakund. But first, we have to satisfy Prabhupada. Okay? Yeah. All right. So we'll stop here. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.